Hey, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, ever striving to be fact-based, open to divergent perspectives, and always actively optimistic. Today we're going to be talking with Robin Denson, who is running for Pierce County Council for District 7. That district, among other areas, includes a big chunk of Tacoma. With the degree of dysfunction that we have in our federal government, driven by squabbling national political parties, I believe that local and state government becomes ever more a focus in terms of getting things done regarding our environment and climate change. We talk to folks all over the political spectrum on Climate Talk, and I find those people that I talk to, regardless of their political perspectives, to be thoughtful people who listen and who have reasonable points of view. And I'm contrasting this with what we see so much in our federal government. So from that perspective, I am really looking forward to hearing what Robin Denson has to say about her campaign and where she sees us headed with local government. So here we go. Well, Robin Denson, welcome back to Climate Talk. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, John. It's great to see you again.
So you've been campaigning, I think, since sometime in spring. Is that about right?
Actually, I started last year. District 7 in the county is a really tough district. It's a swing district for us here in our area. So I started campaigning probably in June of 2021. So it's been a long road.
Well, that speaks to some real devotion and some real energy. So sketch out for us what you've been doing on your campaign. Doorbelling, meeting people, speaking. What have you been up to?
Yeah, pretty much all of that and more. I would say, John, since I started so early, I really started by reaching out and meeting with all sorts of community leaders throughout Tacoma, Gig Harbor, Fox Island, and the Key Peninsula, particularly over in the Tacoma and Reston area, because, you know, I live in Gig Harbor. I'm a city council member here. I'm involved in all sorts of organizations over here. So I felt like I had a pretty good handle on the issues here and the organizations and who the community leaders were. Tacoma, to be honest, was, you know, a brand new world for me. I certainly have been involved in things over there and have, you know, some good friends, especially elected officials there. But I had a lot to learn. And I really respected the fact that I needed to get to know, you know, the Tacoma side a lot more. So I started meeting with, you know, the new police chief, Chief Moore, with the different legislators and city council people, and, you know, the heads of transit, nonprofit leaders, homeless group. Really, I would meet with one person and they would give me 5 to 10 names of other people I should meet with, business owners. So that's where I really started. And then right around the end of January of this year, I started door knocking, because we've got like 134,000+ people in District 7, and it's really spread out. You know, you've got North Tacoma and Reston and part of West Tacoma that's nice and consolidated, but then you have Gig Harbor, Key Peninsula, Fox Island, you know, more rural areas. So I started over in Tacoma again, just knowing that I really, really needed to get to know the different neighborhoods and the different community leaders, and that was so valuable, because not only did I start tracking some themes in the Tacoma area, but I got to know the micro issues in the different neighborhoods as well, and really made some great friends and got to know some folks too. I just have some great stories. I met this one woman who ends up that she's got this whole group of ladies that does postcards for candidates all over the country. And she's like, I'll do postcards for you. And she and like 40 women have been writing tons of postcards and reaching out to their Tacoma network. I met some people who invited me into their home and ended up throwing events for me to meet their neighbors and help raise funds. So all of that was good. So I'm continuing to door knock. I bop back and forth. I've done most of Tacoma. There's a couple areas I still need to hit. But then bopping back and forth to Fox Island, the Key Peninsula, and of course, you know, more unincorporated Gig Harbor, as well as the city. And then you have all of the events, which really is the fun part. You've got, you know, the Gig Harbor Maritime Gig Fest Parade, which is fun. One of my favorite Tacoma events was Pride Fest. And that was hilarious, because all of the elected officials and candidates were invited onto the stage. I don't know if you were there, John, but we all have to dance. It was just a riot, and there was tons of people, and I was just so invigorated. And then, of course, I try to hit a lot of the nonprofit events, you know, all of the wonderful people that are doing great work in the community. And then, of course, there's forums. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of forums. My opponent and I have had the chance to be together 6 or 7 times on different topics or just, you know, general forums, which is a good opportunity to really, again, listen to what constituents have on their mind and show how we're different, you know, in some ways similar as well. So that's basically it. And then, of course, the part that's not so much fun, which is fundraising, because goodness, campaigns cost a lot, just like in every industry. Prices have gone up with paper and digital. Everything costs more. So raising the money to make sure I'm able to reach the voters and communicate, you know, my message and why they might consider voting for me is really.
Well, so much there. And one of the thoughts that occurs to me as well, if you can bring half the energy to being a council member that you've brought to your campaign, then we're going to be in good shape. So you've expended a tremendous amount of activity or energy. I looked at the map recently of your district, District 7, and it really is a very diverse district. I mean, in terms of there's rural areas, island country down the peninsula, and then, of course, as you mentioned, the Tacoma part of it. So are there any special challenges that you see in representing a district with so many different, let's say, interests or needs or concerns?
I don't think so, really. I mean, I think the most important thing is to make sure that I'm talking to folks in all of those areas. The legwork that I've done during the campaign, as well as just my experience as a city council person and involved in community organizations, means that I have a really good handle on the issues and I know the folks to talk to. And they're calling me if they've got concerns or issues that they want me to work on. But I will just say, because it's diverse, the issues that they care about are also diverse. And so this job, it's a big job. It's not a single issue job. There's some, you know, issues certainly that are most top of mind to people. But, you know, I know from my experience in local government that you need to be working on all sorts of things at once, because there may be some things you can take care of quickly, you know, in a matter of months, which is pretty quick for local government. There are some things that you are going to be working on for years, but if you don't start the process and get the projects in the queue and get the plans, I mean, there's a lot of steps to a lot of what we do in local government. So you need to be working on all of these things and making sure that each part of your district and each part of the county, you know, as a county council person, I'm serving everyone feels like they are getting the attention they deserve, that they're getting the services that they deserve, and, you know, they're not feeling discounted or overlooked.
Yeah, so there's a huge difference between having goals and aspirations and accomplishing those things, which you just pointed to. And so part of the key there, as you also said, is, well, let's get going. If we're going to do this, let's get going. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about door knocking. That seems like kind of a scary proposition to me. So I honor you for your willingness to. How many doors would you say you've been to during your campaign?
You know, well over 9,000. I meant to get an updated figure for you today, John, but it could be closer to 10 at this point. Yeah. I mean, I'm out all the time. And, you know, it's something, like I said, I've been doing since February. I have run for office before. I'm a city council person in Gig Harbor, so this is not my first rodeo. I will say this time, you know, I'm a lot more comfortable. I don't get as nervous. You know, when I ran for city council, I just remember I would have to talk myself out of my car. Like, come on, you can do it. This time, I'm actually really enjoying door knocking. It's wonderful to talk with folks. I hear different things. I learn so much. And again, it really helps me to dial in on, okay, this is what people really care about right now.
So, well, just generally speaking, how would you say you're received? I mean, are people happy to have you knocking on the door, open to talking to you, or is it sometimes like not so much?
You get both. For the most part, since I'm the actual candidate, once they realize that, they're kind of surprised. They're surprised that you are actually at their door. And then they're like, okay, I'll talk to you. So I start off by holding up my walk piece and pointing to the picture and saying, you know, this is me. I'm Robin Jensen. Because they think I'm just, you know, a lot of times they think you're a paid person just dropping literature at people's doors. So I make sure they know that. And, you know, you can, I was a waitress for many years, so I can read expressions pretty darn well. And you can tell if people are trying to be polite, but they really, are busy and want to get something else. And I'll just get out a few things real quick and just thank them for their time. But because it's actually me coming to their door, a lot of times they really all of a sudden are like, "Oh my gosh, I've got an opportunity to really talk to somebody who can make a difference." I was on Fox Island yesterday and went down this driveway, and this guy was so surprised. He says, "I've never met a politician before." He was in a rural area, so no one had come to his house before, but even just out and about. And so, he was really nice and had a couple of concerns, but I always make sure people, can find my contact information because, I'm catching them unawares
Yeah,
at their
right.
door so they can get in touch with me later. And then they feel like, "Oh my gosh, I've got somebody I can actually call for small things or big things."
I hadn't thought about this before, but I recognize in myself that if I walk through a community or a neighborhood or even in the country, I see a thousand times more things than I see when I'm just driving through it. So did you experience that? I mean, you must have more of a feel just based on all this doorbelling you've been doing for what's going on all throughout the district.
Absolutely. And I learned some really cool things. For example, the people would tell me at the doors in the North Slope area, I learned about the cool roads made of ballast stone. I just thought, those were old bricks or something. So people would educate me about the community, and they would tell me, just down to corners or streets or signage that they were having concerns with. I learned so much. And I saw a lot of out here in the rural areas, actually even in Tacoma. I saw lots of deer. For a couple of days over here in part of Gig Harbor, there was this big coyote. I saw him every day, broad daylight. Like, the poor guy was hungry. So you really do see a lot of, once on the Kee Peninsula, I was like, "Gosh, I hope I don't see a bear out here." We've got them. So yeah, you really do get to know, the community, and then you can reference things and you just hear so many great stories from people.
So just as an aside, if you came by my door, I would say, could you do something about those deer that keep eating my hostas? I'm gonna have to figure out another
Cool.
I'm gonna have to figure out another plan for that. So
Oh.
on the trail, all of the varieties of communities that you visited, could you sketch out the concerns that you would say are most prominent that you heard?
Yes, and I always say it does kind of depend on where you're talking about. In Tacoma, it was like 99.9% crime and homelessness at every single door. Once in a while, I would have people, ask me how I feel about climate change and say the environment was most important to them, which you know me, John. And so I would light up. I would want to talk about that. That was great. And then you get your spattering of the potholes and speeding. And I'm like, "Well, that's your city council." So I got to educate folks about what their city council could do for them and what the county council could do for them. Out here on, the side of the bridge where Gig Harbor and the Kee Peninsula is, you do hear about crime for sure. Not as emotionally charged, I would say, as you hear about it in Tacoma. We've done a good job in the city. We've got a fully staffed police department here. We have some wonderful sheriff deputies over here. We don't have enough, but crime, people have definitely experienced an uptick over here too, and they're hearing about what's happening in other parts of our state and our country, so they're concerned. So that is an issue. Homelessness, you don't hear about too much over here, a little bit, because we do have more homeless folks that we are, running into, or we're just seeing it more. So folks are concerned about that. So those are areas of interest. But over here, you hear a lot about concerns about growth and development encroaching into our rural working lands, our farmlands, and our critical habitat. And over in this area, if you're familiar with it at all, like, we don't have a lot of employment. We have one bus route in the city of Gig Harbor, nothing in unincorporated Gig Harbor, Fox Island Peninsula. We don't have huge roads. We don't really have the infrastructure for people sprawling. We understand that, we need to take growth within the city, just like Tacoma does, but we're seeing some sprawl into our rural lands, and that's concerning to people, especially with the loss of wildlife habitat and the impact on some of our salmon streams. So that's a big thing. Mental and behavioral health services is huge, and I certainly heard that in Tacoma too, substance abuse. And then out on the Kee Peninsula, all of those issues, plus they've got serious basic infrastructure issues of broadband, for example. There's a lot of parts of the Kee Peninsula that don't have broadband. The kids can't, take classes classes online. Their parents can't work remotely. So again, that adds to traffic congestion, and it's just an equity issue. And public transit comes up a lot out there too. There's lots of seniors, there's low income folks, there's folks that would prefer to take public transit, and there's just no option. So those are a few of the things that I hear a lot.
Yeah, so let's just touch on homelessness a bit here. Of course, I live in the north end of Tacoma, in your district, of course. And so I see the encampments here and there, and I worry about it. For me, it's from a humanitarian perspective that I worry about it. And so I hear if I could oversimplify here, two different approaches. One is, could you just get those homeless people out of here so I don't have to look at them? I don't have to worry about crime or drugs or so on and so forth. And the other one is, well, what can we do to make things better in terms of homelessness? So where do you come down on that? How would you approach that?
Well, what I experienced at the doors in Tacoma was a lot of frustration about street homelessness in particular, what you're talking about, seeing people in tents on their street or in the parks or down by the river. And there's a lot of reasons why that is not sustainable. And that's not a good situation for anybody, the unhoused people as well as the community. But I will say, I also heard at the doors, people would say, we need a compassionate solution. Mm-hmm. So I think Tacoma is feeling the same way I am. You can't just sweep people. That doesn't do anything. You know, you can clear an encampment and it looks great now. Those folks are from our community. They've got networks in our community. They are not going anywhere. They are not leaving Tacoma. They are moving two blocks over into somebody else's neighborhood or into another park. And unfortunately, it really has negative consequences because now, you know, they've developed a social network right. in these encampments where they're looking out for one another, and now they're all split apart. Social service providers, or we've got lots of private residents that are out talking with folks and bringing them water and blankets and trying to get them help. Well, now those folks, those case managers, those good-hearted people, now they can't find the folks that they've been developing relationships with. So we've gone backwards maybe in some progression. We need to have a place for people to go. It's not okay for people to be camping on the streets and parks and by the rivers. I 100% agree with that. But just by sweeping them is not solving the problem. So like a first step, which I always say, I was not a fan of this when I first started campaigning. But once I learned more about the issue and actually talking to folks in the encampments, I understand why it's important. A first step of maybe just even having some sanctioned encampments, plots of land, places where people can put their tent, where there's sanitation, there's garbage service, there's some showers, and there's case managers, there's social service agencies that can get to know these people and build those relationships. That combined with safe parking, it's kind of the same thing. Because what I've seen and what I've heard from the real experts working with some of these homeless people, especially folks that have been on the street for a long time, have a lot of trauma and develop some mental health issues, maybe substance abuse issues, people, you know, things spiral down when you're living on the street. Yeah. What I've heard is once people are in a place where they feel safe, they feel stable, they're not worried about being swept, then all of a sudden they start opening up and developing relationships with the case managers, the different organizations trying to help them. And all of a sudden, a person that didn't want to talk to you before and did not want to accept services before, all of a sudden they're like, well, maybe I will accept services here. Maybe I can do this. And all of a sudden, we start moving them towards, you know, a better housing situation, a tiny home or one of the single room occupancy apartments in one of the motels. Mm-hmm. Maybe they need a rent subsidy, or maybe they need some mediation with their family to help get them reconnected. We can move them into better housing and towards self-sufficiency.
Well, it sounds like a really good approach. And I really hope that we can do something along that line. That addresses both the issues of the problems from that can come from the homeless folks being in a neighborhood, but also approaching it in a humanitarian kind of way. So let's shift gears just a little bit here. You made a little reference to environment and climate change, and it's pretty clear that even nationally, when you ask people all over the political spectrum what their primary concerns are, climate change and environment are fairly far down the list. And I think that's understandable in the sense that people are concerned about what are problems I'm experiencing right now, you know, the cost of living, safety in my neighborhood, those kind of things. So, and I think there's another part too, because of the the difficulties, let's call it, in our federal government of getting stuff done. It seems to me like that local government, state government, what we do at that level becomes more and more important. So I think I heard you say you hear some talk about climate change, but it's down the list some and concerns for us here in Pierce County in your district. So is that a correct read on my part?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like you said, are concerned about it, but it's not the most salient issue to them at the moment. But I did mention it particularly in Tacoma. There were a couple people at the doors where that was their number one issue, which I appreciated. I think you hit it right on the head. There's a lot of things that are in people's face right now in terms of crime, in terms of homelessness, in terms of inflation and gas prices. And so the economy, you know, always has a big impact. But I think we as elected officials, as organizations, need to make sure people understand that climate and climate change is really impacting folks right now, and it's only going to get worse. And not only is it worse for all of us, but it's really impacting the most vulnerable of our populations, folks that don't have AC, people that don't have good insulation and heat, folks in the rural areas that have plenty of trees and it looks great, but if there is a heat emergency or a cold emergency, they've got no public transportation, they've got no way to get to a shelter, for example. And as a government person or as an elected official, I think because maybe this isn't as salient to the normal everyday person in their home, we need to take a leadership role on this. We need to be looking towards the future. We know the data, we've seen the studies, and there's more and more every day. We need to say, you know what, this may not be top of mind for you right now, but we need to be planning so that we don't have a serious crisis. And you could argue that we already have had some that impacts folks. And that's our job, because public safety, health and human safety should be our number one job. And if people don't have clean air to breathe and water to drink and good soils to grow their food in, I mean, those are basic needs that sustain life. So I think we need to take a bigger role in looking forward. And it's hard because it's not immediate. Like all the steps we're taking, you're not going to see a difference during my term. So I can't point to it and say, hey, look what I did. I have to be secure and comfortable in the knowledge that what I'm doing now is going to affect people in 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years. And, you know, that needs to be okay with me. And it is okay with me. But I think some elected officials look at what are the short-term gains that I can point to. And this is going to be a longer-term thing for us. It's so important.
Well, I'm really gratified to hear you say that, because leadership, you use the word leadership, and I think absolutely it's called for both locally and everywhere else, because it is a problem that people don't perceive as being immediate. And by the problem, I'm talking about the problems of climate change and other environmental things. One of the other candidates for council, I heard them make the comment about, well, my number one concern, and I think the number one concern of voters, is safety. But I think a really strong argument can be made that taking care of our environment and providing a stable climate as best we can going into the future is absolutely related to safety too. So I as I listen to you talk about your approach to environment and climate, I gotta say, well, thank you for that, because it does require leadership. And sometimes leadership calls for the leader to say things that aren't particularly what people want to hear at the moment. So I wish you well with that leadership effort going forward in terms of environment and climate. And I know your record is very strong on environmental issues. So I got to say, I think that you're really well suited for that task.
Well, thank you. And like I try to communicate to folks, there are issues that are more top of mind than others, but all of these issues are interrelated. You know, where we put housing is related to jobs and related to transportation, and that's related to the environment. So you can't just focus on one issue. You have to see how, if I do this, for example, if I, you know, do something that helps the environment, how's that going to help these businesses? And is this going to impact people's jobs? And if it is in a negative way, how can we fix that so that we can all, you know, we can all move forward in a positive direction? But that's why you've got to bring everybody together too. And that includes different political parties. Right. We all need to be listening to each other and figuring out how can we make this work together.
So, well, in that regard, of course, we live in, I will characterize it as a horribly polarized political environment right now. So I guess two questions. related to that. How has that shown up in your campaign as you've been talking to people? And the other thing is, what are your expectations about the next council in terms of polarization on the council? I mean, is the council going to be able to work together in a collegial way where everybody's listened to and we can come up with solutions that kind of work for everybody?
Well, that's my goal for sure. So things are really politically polarized right now. I don't have to tell anybody that. I mean, I don't even care if you're not involved in politics. See it? And I can tell you that that's something I actually hear at the doors quite a bit too, is people are just sick of it.
Yeah.
They are sick of it. They don't like the games. They don't like one party, and it happens to both, saying just because that other party came up with the idea, I'm immediately against it. They are telling me, could you guys just work together and get some things done? We've got real issues. Quit quit fighting each other, quit ignoring each other, quit saying like, oh, this is our project or our win. And you guys, it's just, I think most of us want the same things in terms of our general goals, a healthy, safe communities, nice places to live, high quality of life. We may have some different ideas, but my experience working as a nonpartisan policy advisor down at the state house really taught me, because you know, I had to be completely, completely objective, bringing the Republicans and the Democrats. It taught me that when you bring people into the same room and say, okay, this is the direction we need to head in. How can we do this in a way that is good for tenants while making sure that landlords can make a living because they need to make a living? And how can we do this in a way where, you know, we're benefiting both sides, and it can happen, but only if we listen to each other and stop saying, just because you're an R, I'm not going to listen to you, or just because you're a D, I'm not going to listen to you. So on council, you know, my experience is, thank goodness, a nonpartisan city council person has been that we all know where each other are on the board. Yeah. We know what parties, you know, you can tell who you're supporting and all of that good stuff. But we, because we're nonpartisan and we're supposed to be nonpartisan, we really try to focus on the issues. And thank goodness, most local government issues should not be partisan issues. And I intentionally will reach out to somebody that I know politically is on the other side to work with me on things, because it builds that relationship. And all of a sudden it's like, it's not my issue. It's not my project. Now it's me and, you know, a colleague that, you know, is more of a more conservative person. And you know what? It's valuable because I'm getting their buy-in, and then I get the buy-in of the other folks. And now all of a sudden we've got less 4-3 votes, which I just hate. I mean, I hear people say we just need to learn how to count to four. I don't want to count to four. I want to count to 5, 6, ideally 7. Yeah. How great is that? Because then I feel really confident that what we're doing is the right thing.
Yeah, you use the expression, well, people are that you've talked to are sick of the polarization. And, you know, I have a sense that that's the case, too. And one of the things I'm starting to wonder, of course, we do have a chunk of our populace who loves the polarization. I mean, it gives them energy and they can feel all self-righteous and so on and so forth. But I think there's a big chunk of our population, I'm talking not only locally, but nationally, that we are sick of this polarization. And I almost wonder if there's a welled up source of energy in the populace that's going to show up here sometime, where we tell our government that, you know, look, we're sick of it. We really want you to just go to work, represent us, do the best you can, talk to other people, and so on. Do you have any sense like that?
Yeah, I think that that's true, because I'm hearing that now. And I think that you're seeing that the candidates that are working across the aisle and can not just say that, but show examples of how they've collaborated with a colleague on the other side of the aisle, those are the candidates that the community is more interested in supporting. The more polarizing figures and the figures that are getting nasty and calling out their opponent, you know, that turns people off. And I've found that, you know, myself, which is why in my campaign, I've got lots of great experience. I've got lots of local government experience, volunteer experience, professional experience in a lot of these different issue areas. I feel like I've got a lot to bring to the table. And all I can do is present that to the voters, and then it's their decision. I don't need to talk about any of my opponents or really try to discount anybody else, because, you know, they've got good experience too. So I think that if people can stay positive and just talk about what they bring to the table, I think that's what the voters want to hear.
Yeah, I agree. So looking like right now, of course, the county council is 4-3. And, you know, you point, well, it would be great to be able to make decisions that were more than just 4-3 decisions. So look in your crystal ball a second, if you're willing to do that, and what do you see coming up for the makeup of the council, the new council that's going to start out next year?
Well, you know, right now there's 4 Democrats and 3 Republicans. It's only been that way for 2 years. People yeah. don't realize that. Before that, for 17, 18, 19 years or so, it was Republican majority. So in the last 2 years, you know, in my opinion, the Democrats have done a really good job moving forward environmental issues, homeless issues, mental health, you know, development standards, you know, in a lot of things that I think are good. And I've really appreciated the fact that the leadership, you know, Derek Young, who is the individual who's terming out that I'm hoping mm-hmm. to replace, I have seen him really try to work with his Republican colleagues. He'll put one of the Republican colleagues, you know, as second in leadership. And he really tries to work across the aisle. And I think that's true for a lot of the council members. So I think that we've seen some good issues come forward that have been not just 4-3 votes. The homeless, the comprehensive plan to end homelessness, for example, I think that had 6 votes in favor mm. of that. So, you know, it's not completely polarized, yeah. although I certainly, mm. you know, lately in particular have seen some more just politically polarized votes. So if I get elected, it will continue to be a Democrat majority. It'll, you know, be 4 of us because I'll take Derek Young's place. And, you know, I'm going to continue my my track record of really reaching out to my Republican colleagues as well as my Democrat colleagues to see what can we work together on. I really make an effort, like, oh, this is an issue that so and so might be interested in. Let's see if we can do this together so that we can have, you know, the grand majority of council members working towards the same thing and in agreement.
So, you know, one of the things in my experience in terms of listening to people, then let's say initially I think, well, I really disagree with that person or those are not good ideas. If I can discipline myself to just listen so many times, I can pick up something that's valuable that I hadn't thought of before. And at the very least, I can understand where the areas of disagreement are. So I hear that that's where you're headed. And I really hope that we can do that. And if, you know, we have to say if you're elected at this point still, of course, but if you are elected, I really hope that the council can continue this process of becoming more collegial over time. So we're getting close to the end here. I wanted to ask you, so do you ever have second thoughts about your decision to run for this position? Because it's been a lot of hard work. I mean, obviously, it's been a lot of hard work. So ever any second thoughts?
No, I don't have any second thoughts. I will tell you, John, that when Council Chair Young came to me almost 3 years ago to ask if I would consider, you know, because he knew he was going to be terming out, mm-hmm. I took a long mm-hmm. time to think about it. And it wasn't because I was concerned about, you know, loving the job and being prepared for the job. I knew I would love the job and I knew it was important. It was like you said, it was the impact on my personal life,
right.
on
yeah.
my children. So I'm a single mom. I've got a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old. So, you know, they're pretty self-sufficient, but there's still a lot of mom stuff that yeah. needs to be happening. So it was considerations like that. I took a long time to think about it and just kind of plan my own future. I'm a planner, so I had to figure out, like, does this fit with kind of where I want to be in 4 years, 8 years, you know, whatever I'm fortunate enough to be selected for. So once I decided, I was all in, and I've just become more passionate about it, learning how important it is. It's so important, I feel, that I'm elected just to keep the positive momentum going in the arena of homelessness, in the arena of our environment, in increasing public safety for everyone so that everyone feels safe in their communities, and mental health, and, you know, all the other issues we've talked about today.
Well, I just got a notification this morning. I get notified about what's in my mail for that day. Anybody can do that, by the way. It's a really cool system
cool.
you're not onto it. But so my ballot is in the mail, is going to be in my mailbox this afternoon.
Today? Oh my
yes.
goodness.
Yeah, not only that, but my son and daughter-in-law are living with me temporarily, transitioning from college to the workplace, and their ballots in the mailbox too. I'm pretty happy about that because they came from New York State, and I'm, you know, I didn't want to be a dad and say, hey, are you guys registered to vote yet? And sure enough, they're their ballots. So God bless them for that. So as people are looking at those ballots, what's your guidance to them?
Well, you know, at one of the doors, somebody said something to me that stuck with me. He was a retired executive from Weyerhaeuser. And he said, he's like, you know what? I don't look at party. He's like, I choose who I vote for, just like I would hire people when I was at this big corporation. He's like, I'm looking for experience. And I think that that's what folks should be thinking about as well. Experience and how does this person share my values? So Pierce County is a $3 billion organization. So that's a big company. Right? It's a big organization. So, you know, I would ask voters to think about, you know, who has the local government experience. You know, Gig Harbor has almost a $200 million budget. So it's, you know, smaller in comparison to Pierce County, but we do a lot of similar things in terms of public works and parks and services and, you know, water and sewer and all of that planning. So I would really think about, you know, who's got the local experience to be able to get things done, to know how to get things in the queue and get projects moved forward and see some positive difference in our community. And I'm hoping they'll think that I'm that person.
Yeah, well, I like that perspective. So it's got a qualitative difference for me as a citizen to think, okay, this is who I'm hiring to manage this really big operation we've got here, rather than just like, okay, well, I get, I'm just voting for a politician. I'm going to keep that in mind as I look at my ballot today. Okay, who am I going to hire for these various positions? It's kind of a powerful thing to be able to think about it from those.
You are hiring me. And it's not only who, you know, has the experience, but who, like I said, who shares your values, who can get things done. And yes, and we've got a lot of issues to address here in Pierce County. Who has the energy and the passion and the commitment to do right by everyone in the community? And I'll just make a note that you're paying into this corporation. Your property taxes, you know, are going into the county, and you deserve to have a good return on your investment.
Yeah, that's a great perspective, and I really appreciate it. And that's really kind of a nice summation. Anything else to add before we finish up here that you'd like to say to people?
Vote, vote, vote.
Okay. All right. I hear you on that. And I've been doing a lot myself and with like-minded people to get the vote out. So, well, I wish you well in the election, and I'll look forward to chatting with you sometime, maybe next year, to see how things are going.
Oh, that would be great, John. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to you so much, too. Okay, there we are. It was just wonderful talking to you. Thanks for your forthrightness and for your energy. And we're having a little election. We're doing more postcards for you this afternoon, by the way. I think we have 100 plus left to do. These are the Key Peninsula cards that I'm talking about. So
awesome.
So yeah, we've done several hundred cards for you. By we, I mean this little Citizens Climate Lobby group, basically.
Done a bunch of hundreds. You guys have really done a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, take care, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, John. Thanks.
Thank you.
Everything. Bye.
Bye. Well, thanks so much to Robin Denson for her very personal sharing of the perspectives she has gained during her campaign. Ballots are out. I'm confident that listeners to this program will vote thoughtfully and that you will be encouraging others to vote as well. You can contact me at john@czltacoma.org for comments on this program or to make suggestions for future programs. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out. A bunch of good people. Join up or find another organization if you aren't already attached to join your voice with others. This program, along with all other locally produced Radio Tacoma programs, can be found on the KTAH website under Programming. So until we talk again, remember that all great victories were almost great defeats, and always live like the mountain is out. Take care now.